Good to see everyone. We are in the book of Mark, chapter 14. It's got 72 verses, and we're going to knock off a chunk, and hopefully next week get through that chapter. Our reading is actually going to be in the same chapter, kind of where we left off last week. So this is a good intro to where we are today. So the reading will be Mark 14, 27. Through verse 31.
Mark 14, 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.
But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be."
Jesus said to him, "Surely I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. And Lord, we thank you for this time again in your word. We just pray you bless your word, just the reading of it even, and any teaching for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, Peter had some pride there, right? I heard a really good message. It was kind of more topical, but it's kind of used these passages, how Peter was, prideful, of course, here, and then he's sleeping when he should be praying. He was prayerless, and the title of the message was like the road to denial, and that definitely fits for sure. The title of today's message is The Man Jesus, and I picked that because we're going to see how this very well, right? Jesus isn't 50% man and 50% God. He's 100% God and 100% man. And you just see that in his frailty here and even in his hurt feelings, I believe, when his disciples are sleeping and not there with him, even though he's also God. And he knows what he has to face. But so really, number one on your sheet is just for the intro, really. Just quoting Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus," right? Jesus died on the cross for us. And he's, by the way, this is a side note, he's our mediator, right? Because some people feel like they have to go to a person to confess their sins for them to be forgiven. That's not biblical doctrine. That's what the cross and the resurrection are all about, just setting us free. And Jesus is our mediator. So we can just come to him, and he forgives us, and he picks us up, dusts us off, and fills us with his spirit, encourages us to move forward. So we're going to look now at verses 32 through 38, and then we'll actually fill in a couple of our worksheet things here on number 2 and 3. So picking up verse 32. So this is, right after Peter just vehemently says, even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. We won't get there, but you know what happens later. We won't get there today. We get close. So verse 32, then they came to a place which is named Gethsemane, which means olive press, and Jesus was going to get crushed. It's like an olive press on the olive. So they came to Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, to the 12 really, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John, those three again, with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, he's kind of the leader, said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen? You don't have to shout out, but the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have the Holy Spirit. Here it's not capitalized, right? We're body, soul, and spirit, and we're born again, so the Holy Spirit lives in us. And we want to do well, but we got to always fight that flesh. By the way, when he says watch and pray, that word watch really means, it can mean to stay awake, you know, because like I said, Jesus knew what was coming. They were oblivious to it, but it wasn't so much watch out for Judas because he was going to yield himself when they came. But it's more like he said, so you don't fall into temptation. Be aware, be awake, and pray. And you know that Peter falls heavily later on because he wasn't prepared. Just getting back to our God, our Savior, number two on your sheet, for we do not, this is just quoting Hebrews 15, chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So isn't that wonderful? Jesus sympathizes with us. And the thing is, he has true sympathy, right? It's not, I mean, God is God, right? I don't know. It's beyond me to figure it out, so I won't even try to verbally. But he chose to become a man, to live, to really experience life down here in a fallen world. His body wasn't fallen, but it was human, and he could have fallen. So he sympathizes, with us, and it says here he was at all points tempted as we are. And that can mean tempted or also tried, you know, going through a trial. And you look again, when you look back in verse, 33, it said he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Of course, we know now what he was facing as a human being. He knew he was going to be separated from his Father. An eternal being, internally in love with the Father, you know, he knew that he was going to be separated. He was obviously dreading it as an understatement, but he was deeply distressed. Verse 34, he says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. In verse 35, he fell on the ground and just, when he was in that garden, you know, of Gethsemane, he just fell to the ground. And Luke tells us that he was sweating drops of blood, which is a medical condition. He was that distressed, very, very human. That blesses me. Does that bless you? Doesn't that bless you to know how human Jesus is? How he really relates to us. He really understands. And then, so that's that one, number two. And then number three, you see verse 35, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. If what were possible? Number three on your sheet, if it were possible for people to be saved any other way, I put in quotes, let's skip the cross. You know, that sounds flippant, but I don't mean it that way. But Jesus, that's what he's saying. If there's any other way, the man Jesus. Now, again, if I may say, some would say, oh, he's God. He knows everything. Well, he didn't know. According to the passages on the end times, it says no one knows the day or the hour, not the angels in heaven, not even the Son, Jesus says of himself. And there's a passage in Acts, it's Acts 10:38. I'll turn there. Acts 10:38, I think kind of backs the fact that he didn't, yes, he is God in the flesh, but he was limited. He had to rely on God while he was down here. And he did that wonderfully. He's always spending time in prayer with the Lord. Acts 10:38, if I said that wrong the first time. 10:38, how God, this is Peter preaching how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So he, you know, he was in tune with God like no one else, for sure. But he got his power from God and his knowledge, really. So he already knew enough to know that he was going to be arrested. But and he knew he needed to go to the cross. Don't get me wrong on that. He knew that was going to happen. But I just think, again, it's very human, not sinful, but human to say, if there's any other way, you know. And so it's just a beautiful thing to me, how he was, how he is. You know, he's still a man. He's still in a body, right? A glorified body like we're going to get. But he's still in a human, glorified human body, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he's going to come and get us, you know. And that's going to be wonderful. And, you know, he calls us brothers and sisters. He wants to be, he's our brother. He says that. Wonderful, isn't it? So now let's look at verses 39 through 42. Again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. That's the same, and I'll say the same words. Verse 36, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but you will. But more, I'm sure, bawling when saying that. He said the same words. And when he returned, now he returns to the three, Peter, James, and John. When he returned, he found them asleep. Asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Ever been in that position at work? You're messing up. The boss says, hey, what are you doing? I don't know how to answer right now. But that's the feeling, you know. And then just verse, we're going through verse 42. So verse 41, then he came the third. So he goes out again to pray to his Father. Then verse 41, then he came a third time back to the Peter, James, and John and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. So it is the time. And I do believe, like I said earlier, or I didn't say, but number two, quoting Hebrews 4:15, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And I'm sure he's praying and sweating drops of blood and be candid with the Father. Don't you love that? If there's any way, take this from me. But also, I'm sure he was tempted to bail, you know. And so what a faithful God, what a faithful man. I don't know. I used to pick on Nicholas when he was more around 33 years old. I lost track of them. Well, I know we're 10 years apart. So wait, 20 years apart. Anyway, never mind. I'm making a fool of myself. But whoever is around that age, that's what I like to do, is pick someone in our midst that's around that age and think of them having to die on a cross for all, you know, not, and as you probably know, the cross itself for anyone is horrible because you're dying by slow suffocation. But to go through that and to take hell for the whole world, you know, that's just, that's overwhelming for any man, including Jesus, but he was faithful to do that. And so number four on the sheet there, I just have simply Jesus was hurt by the disciples' lack of care. And again, not to sound too, he sounds pretty no-nonsense there when he says, are you still sleeping and resting? It's enough. My Bible has an exclamation point after that. It's enough. But again, he's not being carnal or sinful. He's just it's somewhat hurtful that they couldn't stay with him. Those were the three that he brought with him to the transfiguration for the healing of Jairus' daughter. And obviously Peter was marked out for leadership and he would later fulfill that, right? But yeah, so, and the verses I have there, Genesis 6:6 and Jude 15, we won't turn there, but you can look those up. I love the Jude verse, talks about the harsh things that ungodly people speak about him, the harsh things. So we can be harsh, hard on God. And the Genesis verse is that he was sorry after sin came in the world. And it says how the only evil thoughts all the time with mankind. And God was sorry that he made man on the earth and it hurt his heart. I'm not quoting that literally perfectly, but we have a God who has a sensitive heart, you know, toward others, you know, and it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Just the love. I can't imagine it, but think about when you see him, when you go to heaven and he greets you, he lets you in and says, well done. And and for eternity, it's going to be wonderful. So now verses 40, we're going through first 50, as it says on your thing there. But verses 43 through 47. So he says, my betrayer is at hand. And verse 43 says, and immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And I'm just seeing how far to read. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him and lead him away safely. And that word could also be translated securely, because you think, does he care about Jesus? You know, and there's different philosophies on what Judas's end game was for doing that, but we're not going to get into that. But he says, lead him away safely or securely. In verse 45, as soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by, guess who? One of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Who was that? It was Peter, right? And we know from the other gospels that what does Jesus do? Yeah, he took the ear and he healed the guy. He was the servant of the high priest. Someone, that other message, I think, one of the messages I listened to said, there would have been four crosses if Jesus hadn't healed that guy's ear, possibly. Peter might have got him too. But very gracious to that man and very gracious to Peter to heal the man and to tell, you know, Peter in the other gospel that put your sword away. This is not what I came for, you know. And that goes to number 5 on our sheet. Peter was fighting the wrong battle. And the passage we have there is Ephesians 6:12, which talks about how we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, right? But with different spiritual powers and entities. And that's a good reminder for us, because you might think it's your wife's fault or your husband's fault or your kid's fault or your mom and dad's fault. It's the devil's fault. I remember John Corson telling a story that he and his brother were in the backyard, his older brother, and they were pulling weeds. You know, just laborious, just boring work, just pulling weeds. And, you know, John Corson and his humor, he says, his brother goes, it's his fault. And John's thinking, that's weird. He usually says it's my fault, because it was his older brother, you know. So what are you talking about? It's his fault. It's Adam's fault that we're doing this. So it's because sin entered the world, and we're, you know, so it's just, we just have to remember that. Of course we deal with people. We have to deal with people on a human level and all that. But just remember that we have an enemy, the devil, and we have God, and we have angels on our side too, and demons against us. But obviously Peter here was, you know, he was sleeping when he should have been praying, and he was boastful when he should have been humble, and he was fighting physically when he should have, again, just fighting spiritually, and really been, they could have been in tune with him. You know, Jesus had spelled out to them more than once, I'm going to be arrested and tried, and I'm going to die, but on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And even notice verse 28 of our passage, he says, but after I have been raised, I will go before you in Galilee. So that's just going in one ear. They have no idea what they're facing. But so he was fighting the wrong battle there. But what's good, again, is that Jesus really, you know, was patient with Peter and worked with him. And I know I say it over and over, aren't you glad Peter's in the Bible? And I almost want to do a like a topical message about all the things, all the ways that he failed, because it's really good for us, because I fail in so many ways, and I'm glad the Lord is so candid. You know, he's very candid. I've heard it put even as an argument, you know, take this how you want to take it, but it makes sense to me, even an argument for the validity of the Bible. Who would make up a story and have all their heroes be such failures? You know, three of the most significant used people in the Bible all committed murder. Moses, David, and Saul of Tarsus, Peter, who's Paul. They all committed murder, and God still used them. And, you know, so we have such a wonderful God. So now verses 48 through 50. Then this is interesting too. Then Jesus answered and said to them, not to Peter here, but to those who are arresting him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple, teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him. And we'll make some comments on that. But notice back on, we start our reading, verse 27. "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night." So at this point, they all desert him. And we're going to stop here, but we'll you know, when we pick up next week, Peter follows, not Peter Apollos. Peter follows from a distance, you know, and he just keeps setting himself up more and more for this denial that he's going to deny Jesus, understandably for fear of his life. Not saying it's right, but we're all human. For fear for his life, I should say. They all forsook him. But also, and I'll get to our number six here in a minute, but it's just interesting that Jesus calls them out. You know, he's saying, what's all this at nighttime with guards and all? He knows that they fear the people. That's why they're doing this secretly. So that's why he calls them out and says, "You could have arrested me anytime. I don't understand why you're doing it like this." But of course, he yields to it because it's the Father's will and his will that he does, ultimately, that he does go to the cross for us. But just the fact that he says there, "But the scriptures must be fulfilled." Number six on your sheet, this is quoting Isaiah 53. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15:3. I have Isaiah 53. We will be reading that in a minute, that verses 4 through 6 of Isaiah. But Paul writes here, number six on your sheet, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures," as prophesied in several places, but nothing probably more plainly than Isaiah 53. And we're going to read verses 4 through 6 there, Isaiah 53. And really, if you have a chance to read this, or take the time to read it, you can really start in chapter 52, verse 13. That's where it really starts. But we're just going to look at three verses 4, 5, and 6. And it says here, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isn't that awesome? Just think about the best gift you ever got for Christmas or whatever. Your parents bought you a car or a house. Doesn't compare to this gift, you know. What a gift Jesus gave to us, and what a gift he is to us, right? Such a wonderful Savior, man. So, yeah, I just encourage us, that's it for the worksheet, but just to just continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and in his word. And I wanted to say too, if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. Please let me know, because it's really good to have a Bible. And I respect if people read the Bible on their phones, if that works better for you, I respect that. But definitely, we want to just grow and grow in that. And I exhort myself because I haven't been reading at the same whatever you want to call it, amount that I have before. And we know there's no condemnation from God, just exhortation. I was just going to turn to one verse before we close. Read it to you. excuse me. Peter just says this simply, two verses really. 1 Peter 2:2-3. He says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And that isn't just talking to babes in Christ. He's saying, as newborn babes, desire. And yes, there's milk and meat in the word, but we don't want to overanalyze it. The main point is, he says, that you may grow thereby. And that's how we grow. We grow, you know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we grow. This is our spiritual food. So I really do. I bought some Bibles, and we have some still. Maybe two or three, but we're glad to get some more. If you don't have a Bible, let me know. We'd love to give you one. And you can pick your version, and we'll get the version that you want. So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And thank you for your patience with Peter and James and John. And thank you for your patience with us. And we just ask you, we thank you for your word. We also need your Holy Spirit afresh. And thank you that you dwell in us, Holy Spirit. We just ask for a fresh filling, the overflow, so we can just really experience you and be all that you want us to be to others, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.